$11 billion. That's double the price of the wall. It's the Business News Hour for Monday, the 28th of January. Grateful, as always, that you're here with us again today. The markets opened lower and stayed that way all day. We'll share why. The New York Times has a great story about a screw. We'll share that. That Sears deal, it ain't over, and this time we're talking pensions. Crushed by medical bills, Americans are turning to the internet to pay for them. Oh, really? Speaking of the internet, Facebook launched some new tools to combat disinformation in European elections. Today, we'll visit with Georgia Van Gundy from the Iowa Business Council about how Iowa ranks when compared to other states when it comes to business. And it's Monday, and Laura Kennard from Drake University and DMBizMixer.com joins us with business education and networking events this week. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AURION.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. RE/MAX Concepts, with offices in Cedar Rapids, Nevada, Ames, and the greater Des Moines Metro. RealEstateConcepts.net. The Business News is next.
How are organizations investing in their future? Many are choosing to invest in their people in the same way they invest in new equipment, facilities, and IT systems. That is one of the wisest investments you can make. How do you determine training needs? Turn to the award-winning professionals at Tero International for a complimentary needs assessment and gap analysis. Visit Tero.com, that's TERO.com, to learn more. This is Ro from the Tero team.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources and more for businesses and nonprofits. AURION.com. RE/MAX Concepts. Real estate professionals with offices in the Des Moines Metro, Nevada, and Cedar Rapids. RealEstateConcepts.net.
Hey, it is Monday. Welcome back to the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Reach out to us on Twitter. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, you can find me there as well. I'm at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-I-E. $11 billion. That's what the Congressional Budget Office says was the hit to the U.S. economy during the 35-day partial government shutdown. The CBO released those numbers this morning. What this means is that it's very likely the U.S. will not hit a 3% GDP in 2019 as some had forecast. The last time the U.S. saw growth of 3%? 2005. The CBO says much of the lost economic activity is likely to be recovered in future quarters. However, some of the spending is likely gone for good. And the CBO says that number is $3 billion. Well, the markets opened lower and stayed that way all day as investors again digested weak economic data coming out of China. It also didn't help that the CBO said the shutdown cost our economy $11 billion. Investors were roiled by Caterpillar missing their quarterly profit mark by the biggest margin in more than a decade. The reason? All eyes point to China as demand for the land, moving, and mining equipment produced by Caterpillar is weakened. The Deerfield, Illinois company also issued a 2019 profit forecast range, which at the low end was below the average of analysts' expectations. Caterpillar is an economic bellwether, and it adds to the gloom on growth after corporate executives joined the International Monetary Fund last week in warning the global economy is slowing faster than expected. You know, it would be nice if Apple could make their products here in the United States. That would be nice. I mean, everybody's calling for it, right? The president has called for it. Everybody seems to say, well, why doesn't Apple make their stuff in the United States? Well, according to a piece in the New York Times, it ain't going to happen. And it all has to do with a tiny screw. Back in 2012, Apple's chief executive, Timothy Cook, went on primetime television to announce that Apple would make a Mac computer in the United States. It would be the first Apple product in years to be manufactured by American workers, and the top-of-the-line Mac Pro would come with an unusual inscription, assembled in the USA. But when Apple began making the $3,000 computer in Austin, Texas, it struggled to find enough screws. You heard that correctly. Screws. In China, Apple relied on factories that can produce vast quantities of custom screws on short notice. In Texas, where they say everything is bigger, it turned out that the screw suppliers were not. Tests of new versions of the computer were hamstrung because a 20-employee machine shop that Apple's manufacturing contractor was relying on, they could only produce at most 1,000 screws a day. The screw shortage was one of several problems that postponed sales of the computer for months. The people who worked on the project have been telling the New York Times this story, and it's fantastic. By the time the computer was ready for mass production, guess what? Apple had ordered screws from China. In 2017, Tim Cook said while visiting China, quote, "The skill here is just incredible. Making Apple products requires state-of-the-art machines and lots of people who know how to run them. In the United States, you could have a meeting of tooling engineers, and I'm not sure we could fill a room. In China, you could fill multiple football fields." Now you know. The U.S. Pension Benefit Guarantee Company has filed an objection in U.S. bankruptcy court to the proposed bankruptcy filing of Sears Holdings and more than 40 other debtors. The proposed bankruptcy would allow Sears chair and former CEO Eddie Lambert to purchase some 400 Sears and Kmart stores for about $5.2 billion. Lambert's payment does not, though, include $1.7 billion in unfunded pension obligations, none of which would be paid by KCDIP, that's a non-debtor subsidiary of Sears Holding and several other debtors. According to the PBGC, it appears that the debtors are proposing an aggregate cure amount of $0. Lambert is scheduled to appear in court next Monday to ask the judge to approve his $5.2 billion acquisition of Sears. Stay tuned. Well, this is a staggering report. Thousands of Americans are turning to the Internet to help them pay staggering medical bills. Roughly 250,000 GoFundMe campaigns for dealing with healthcare costs have been set up on the online fundraising platform, raising total contributions of about $650 million. Fully a third of all donations made through that site. Can you believe this? According to data by Gallup, health coverage has eroded since 2017, with 7 million more Americans becoming uninsured since President Donald Trump took office. The national uninsured rate stands at 13.7%. That's a four-year high, according to the report. Although many Americans still lack health insurance, the trend in raising money online to pay for medical costs isn't limited to the United States. Medical fundraisers are also popular in countries like Canada and the United Kingdom, which have universal health care. But even when medical bills are covered, associated costs, including lost wages, transportation, and hotel bills, can drain people's bank accounts. However, the U.S. does lead all other nations in online fundraising for medical bills. Today, Facebook unveiled new tools to counter online political meddling in the European elections, part of a campaign to answer growing pressure to rein in disinformation. The new rules will require a wide range of political ads linked to the European elections on May 23rd and 26th to be specifically authorized and tagged with a clear paid-for-by disclaimer. The tools will also cover so-called issue ads, which don't explicitly back one candidate or political party, but which focus on highly politicized topics like immigration. Those ads will then be stored on servers for up to 7 years, along with the details of each reach and specific data on the buyer of the advertising. Well, it was rough sledding on Wall Street today as chip makers to Caterpillar gave some lousy economic reports, and it all seemed to be pointing to the slowing economy in China and elsewhere. The Dow lost 209 points as Caterpillar lagged. The S&P 500 dropped 0.8%, led lower by the tech, energy, and healthcare sectors. The NASDAQ declined by 1.1% as Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, and Facebook all fell at least 1%. Today's decline comes after the Dow and NASDAQ notched their fifth straight weekly gain last week. The major indexes had been soaring since posting a sharp decline on Christmas Eve. In that time, the major indexes have jumped at least 12%. Caterpillar shares lost 9% after the industrial giant posted weaker-than-expected earnings for the fourth quarter. NVIDIA, meanwhile, dropped by 13.8% after slashing its fourth-quarter revenue guidance to $2.2 billion. The chipmaker said deteriorating macroeconomic conditions, particularly in China, impacted demand for its graphics processing units. On the data front, the monthly U.S. jobs report is scheduled for release later this week. Elsewhere, money managers are also waiting for another round of trade talks between China and the U.S., which are set to start later this week. Investors are also bracing for the latest monetary policy decision from the Federal Reserve, which is due Wednesday afternoon. At the bell, the Dow was down 209 points to 24,528. The NASDAQ off by 79 points to close at 7085. And the S&P 500 was down nearly 21 points to 2643. Gold, that continued its climb up by $5.10 to $1,303.20 an ounce. Oil fell by $1.53 today to $52.16 a barrel. And the 10-year T-note is paying 2.74%. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Georgia Van Gundy. She is the CEO of the Iowa Business Council. That's a group whose members are the 23 largest employers in the state. We're going to be taking a look at the economic dashboard. How does Iowa compare to the other states in the nation when it comes to business? Georgia Van Gundy, coming up next here on the Business News Hour.